This time on episode 225 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we'll be talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s newest episode, Fun and Games, we'll do the Marvel News Roundup, and your listener feedback.
I'm Adam from the Digital Suit Podcast, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeek.com, and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, January 7th, 2018, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast galactic-wide via www.geeks.live. Ladies, happy National Bobblehead Day!
Yay!
All my bobbleheads are in the other room.
I've got that bobblehead too, but it's just out of reach. I've got Captain Marvel. Oh, I'm going to get Captain Marvel. Oh, I got Captain Marvel.
I'm messing with a Ant-Man bobblehead right now, bobbling the head.
Listener,
and oh my God, that sounded filthy.
Captain Marvel. So go to YouTube and watch our video.
Watch us bobbling heads.
Yes, exactly.
Bobbling the head is the dirtiest thing I think we've ever said on this podcast.
We've said some awful things here before.
It's true. Yeah, I'm remembering all of them.
And with that, let's continue with the podcast, not saying the dirtiest things ever. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel's Defenders on Netflix, Legion on FX, possibly, if Haley ever puts it on the schedule, Gifted on Fox, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, yay Black Panther, and the Marvel Comic Universe in general.
Because of Killer Balls.
If you'd like to talk to us about Killer Balls, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail about Killer Balls, you can get us at 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871.
You can find our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can find us on Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And you can find all of our videos on YouTube at youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Yes, indeed, we are. And I just want to point out, even though she is not a full agent yet, for reasons that you need to go back and listen to last podcast to find out, Michelle was trying to be here, but just couldn't. And was dealing with some back pain and is going to sit this one out, but she should be back next week and we can get all of her takes as well as her mom's takes next episode. And with that, we're going to move on into the main event. As we mentioned before, we're going to be talking about the sixth episode of the fifth season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. called Fun and Games. This aired Friday, January 5th, 2018, to a live rating, which was up actually a little bit from the last episode of Rewind, from 2.40 to 2.48. So we are on an upward swing, and everybody's talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and if you have not told your friends to come back and watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you need to do so. Immediately. It's a great season, as you should know if you're listening to this podcast, but get somebody else to come back and we should increase those live ratings up. Besides, there's a lot of fun live tweets that's going on. A little bit about that later. In the meantime, Haley, what's up with the title, Fun and Games?
Well, everyone remembers the big Parcheesi tournament they had in the middle of the episode. So that was the fun and games of this episode.
Oddly enough, I did watch two board games on the television this past week. One was like a weird version of chess that I've never seen on Vikings. And if you haven't seen Vikings yet, you probably should go watch Vikings. And it was an interesting chess game. Indeed, the other was just another chess game, actually, from a recorded Hallmark holiday movie called The Christmas Train, and there was a chess game from there. So yes, there was chess on my TV this week. Unfortunately, no Parcheesi, no chess involved in this episode. Haley, you are wrong once again. Lauren, help me out. What is the title?
The title has to do with the fun and games, in quotes, that the Kree and other horrible aliens are having at the expense of the sad, sad humans on board.
I'm not sure that's right.
Well, it is for the horrible, horrible people in charge. They're having fun.
Yes, the Kree, party animals that they are, having so much fun.
Their fun is not our fun. Their fun is significantly not our fun.
That's fair enough. It's like Dothraki fun, really.
It's actually like the opposite of Dothraki fun.
It's like ancient Roman fun.
Okay. Like Spartacus fun.
Yes, like Spartacus fun.
Okay. We found the analogy and we're going to stick to it.
It's like Spartacus fun with less penis and boobs.
Aw, sad day.
Right?
Very sad day. I was just thinking of what we lost here. Okay. In the meantime, let's move on with the creative team behind this great episode, because I believe we all agree it's a great episode. Lauren, who directed this episode?
A little-known director named Clark Gregg, our very own director of S.H.I.E.L.D., director of our hearts, Coulson himself, Clark Gregg. This is his first directing appearance on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's not his first directing credit. He actually has directed three other things besides this episode. One is a movie called Choke, which is based on a Chuck Palahniuk novel. And actually, it's a really funny movie. And he directs Justin Hammer himself in that one. And it's a weird movie, but it's a Chuck Palahniuk based movie. So he's also directed a short called A Breakfast Nook, a movie called Trust Me, and now this episode. And amusingly enough, though not directed, I found out that he wrote the What Lies Beneath screenplay a while back,
yes.
And it just blew my mind.
Yeah, we talked about it on the show when it came out, actually. I thought he was directing that, but he wrote it.
No, and he wrote it.
Didn't his wife actually act in it, I believe? I think so.
I don't remember. It's been so long since I remember it blew my mind at the time because it was the first movie I'd ever seen where Harrison Ford was the bad guy.
One might argue he's always the bad guy.
Jennifer Grey is not listed in the credits of What Lies Beneath.
Okay.
But yeah, Clark Gregg, multi-talented guy, director, director of S.H.I.E.L.D., director of our hearts.
And then over on Instagram, I actually saw the cast picture for the episode with everybody, including the, I believe his name is Coy, the guy that played Flint. And It's actually, they're all look like they're having fun and they must have fun all the time. But yeah, our first directing appearance by Clark Gregg. He did a great job. Haley, who wrote this amazing episode?
This episode was written by Brent Fletcher. He has writing credits going back to 2004. He started with an episode of Angel. He did an episode of Lost, Friday Night Lights, Spartacus, Gods of the Arena, Deception. And then he did 8 episodes of the main Spartacus series. 1 episode of Camp, and 11 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., including this one.
Just look at that list of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes that he wrote. Love in the Time of Hydra, Failed Experiments, Farewell Cruel World, Girl in the Flower Dress. He has been around since season 1 and has done some amazing stuff. The last episode that he did before this was at the end of season 4, so he was running right into season 5 here, so that was great. So there's your creative team. Clark Gregg, as we've learned, is now a creative guy, and Brent Fletcher, very experienced, very creative, very good pair. I hope we see this pair again in the future. So we're going to move on into the highlights of the episode, and we're going to move on into, I think we have to talk about it right out of the gate because it's been so pervasive, and that is basically everything to do with the Science Babies.
Oh, this is such a good Science Babies episode. So we start off Fitz in his Marauder persona, Boshtok the Marauder. He goes and he's hiding behind Simmons and he's trying to profess his love for her and he doesn't know she can't hear him. And I'm there sitting on my couch screaming.
Were you indeed sitting? Did you stay seated?
I did because I'm currently fighting off a cold and I was kind of medicated at the time. So I'm there, I'm screaming, I'm coughing, I'm choking. And amusingly enough, my tweet about that did get retweeted by the director himself, Clark Gregg. And once again, I'm very sorry for blowing up everyone's phones. Although that was still really cool.
That's okay. I'll give you the charge for the new phone here and right after we're done.
So every time anything happened with these two, I'm dying. It hurts so good.
Yeah. Are you sure you weren't maybe pre-gaming a little bit along with the medication?
I was not pre-gaming because that is a very bad idea to do when you are taking anything with acetaminophen.
Okay.
Your liver will thank you for not pre-gaming with acetaminophen.
And kidneys too, probably.
Yes, this has been your public service announcement from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You get one every week, whether you want to or not, from the biology department that Lauren heads up. So yeah, we had the science babies. They were awesome throughout the episode, including the not one, but two wedding or marriage proposals.
So we have Fitz proposing to Gemma when she can't hear him, and then very cleverly getting Cassius to get her little weird
sound canceler thingies.
Yes, the sound canceling brain headphones turned off. And then, of course, at the end, she proposes to him, and I was just dying.
I think he was like, I did it first.
She's like, oh, yeah, of course you did.
We know that she is adept at reading lips, and we know that she was looking out the window. And I know that Fitz was shadowed by herself, but you got to think that she actually knew he was back there and she was reading his lips through the window reflection.
I don't know, because first of all, So this past week I was reading a thread on Reddit. It was a question asked to deaf people about how they dream. Like, do you dream in sign language, stuff like that? And the subject of lip reading got brought up. And honestly, even very, very proficient lip readers only have about a 30% accuracy.
Well, I think, will you marry me? If you get any part of that 30%, you're probably pretty good.
When lip reading, I think, is more helpful is people with like partial hearing.
Yes.
So it's like they're getting some of the words and matching that with your lip movement. That's when it's more helpful. But just straight up lip reading.
And it helps when there's context involved. And there's a lot of other things that go into it.
But she was not able to, like, focus on his lips and really pay attention to what he was doing. She had to maintain her cover.
Yes.
Okay.
So even if she was getting one word out of three, I'm not sure she would have picked up on, although that would be really sweet.
Yeah, if later on we learn that she was actually knew what he was saying the whole time and she was just stringing him along. Maybe when they do get married and it's in the vows or something like that. Even from the first time that you proposed to me, I see him say, I knew it! I knew it!
I don't really see her as the type to string him along, though.
No.
I think, but then again, I was like, oh, I think she'd be real excited, but no, at this point in her characterization, she's good enough at keeping her cover, but I don't see that as stringing him along, per se.
So do you think he's going to wear a cardigan tux?
I think that would be adorable. They wear formal lab coats.
Have you seen that commercial where the couple is wearing, like, knitted formal wear at their wedding?
Yes. It's so cute.
That would be hot. Like, literally hot.
Like, literally sweltering.
Very warm, yes. Toasty. That does not play into my headcanon of this show ending on a beach with Phil and Melinda.
Yeah, no, they wear a very nice, light summer wear. And they get married on a beach. And then Phil and Melinda are like, do you want to do this too? And they're like, I don't know. But then ninjas come in and everyone pulls out a gun. And then that's where the show ends.
No. I have like the last 2 minutes of this series already written in my head. So just stop.
Okay.
I actually, now that we've got a proposal, it'll be Fitz in their wedding, and then it'll be like all the couples sitting next to each other and looking at each other, and then, you know, you'll flash forward a little bit and you'll have Daisy running S.H.I.E.L.D., and you'll have the science babies together in a lab, you'll have Mac and Yo-Yo out Probably, actually, they'll be moving into a new house together, and Phil and Melinda will be on a beach together in Tahiti.
Aww.
That's how the show ends.
Sipping Mai Tais.
Yep.
Why not? Mai Tais are good. So, question for you ladies. If the ratings continue to go up, and I know it's a long shot, but if the ratings continue to go up and get above 5, get to like 6 or 7, do you think we'll be seeing...
I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Well, let's pretend it is going to happen. You think we'd get to see another season, or you think we're still marching towards the end game here?
I don't know if we get another season. I just want to make sure that they end the show the way they intend to end it, and it doesn't end in a place where it's like, oh, we thought we were going to get another season, so we didn't wrap it up the way we wanted to, and then they didn't give us another season. Like, I really, really don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're in a good place this season to end the show well. We've had a good experience with this. There's a lot of other comic book content out there now. You know, it's pretty saturated, so... I feel like this would be a good season to end on.
Plus, you don't want a show to overstay its welcome. And I feel like 5 seasons is a really good length.
I do. I think nowadays I would prefer 7, but 5 is good enough. Now, here's what my last 2 minutes of the whole series is in my headcanon is. It's everything that you just said, followed by a quick 15-second thing of Talbot waking up from his shooting-induced brain coma, coming back to life, and then we get the spinoff series with Talbot and his mustache.
Half mustache will travel.
Talbot can be in Daisy's Flash thing, where she's giving him orders. That would be fine.
Oh, that'd be cool, with her on whatever bridge or CIC center running Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as director, Daisy Johnson, and yeah, that'd be awesome. Oh, okay. Headcanon accepted there. So we have Fitz, who both Fitz and Simmons do things outside of actually proposing to each other. Simmons, for her part, finally gains just a second to steal a knife to help her or somebody escape. And she steals it from Fitz, who's the only one who's not going to say anything about the missing knife. And then there's that whole snail thing that came after that as well. But that was awesome.
That is so, again, that is so very Spartacus. But the thing is, it's the 1960s Spartacus. There's that whole snails and discussion, the very, very super homoerotic discussion where the guy basically says, hey, I'm gay as hell, but uses snails as a metaphor because you can't say gay in the 1960s, apparently. But the first time they brought up snails, and I'm already in a Spartacus mindset. And of course, because the guy who wrote this wrote for Spartacus and honestly wrote an episode of Spartacus that I would like to talk about in a bit that really, really relates to this episode. So they bring up the snails and there's that double speak going on with the snails. And that's all I could think about is the Kirk Douglas Spartacus. Even if it's in the context of politics instead of, hey, you want to sleep with me.
So that was a cool scene because Fitz is really showing his cojones out, you know, his blue balls, if you will. He is looking out for himself. He is taking all that evil Fitz from the framework, and he is definitely using every bit of it to gain every sort of advantage that he can get. And it was just awesome seeing him use his evil powers for good, basically.
Yes, we're seeing this again. This is a thing that I've been loving about this show lately. We've been seeing these disparate storylines build on each other. And the characterization build on each other. We see Simmons go from somebody who's just, she can't lie for anything, to literally just being somebody who can just be stone-faced in front of the enemy. And we see Fitz, you know, our happy-go-lucky little scientist, now using the power of evil for good. And it's amazing. I love it. I love it so much.
I kind of want to go back and watch The Train Job now, which I think is the first time that Simmons goes undercover.
I think you're right.
I think it would be fun to see that again.
Yes, just, oh, the characterization. It's so good. It's so good.
Now, she didn't go undercover willingly here. She just had the experience to actually pull it off and use it as undercover. So we've seen a lot of deaths in this series so far. Basically, everybody that we know that we've come to like in the future has ended up dead. We've got Ben, who is the Inhuman that could read minds, is killed by Sinara?
I want to talk about this in particular.
Okay.
So we have May versus Ben in a gladiatorial scene. And then later on, Ben ends up being killed by Sinara, by Sinara's balls. And he tells, you know, he uses his mind powers to tell Sky, don't blame yourself. This is a scene very reminiscent of an episode that Brent Fletcher wrote for Spartacus called Party Favors that was kind of a turning point for the Spartacus character, where a character that he's friends with in this kind of gladiatorial exhibition ends up being forced to be killed by his own hand. And it's a character that we've come to know and really like as the series happens. And it's horrifying. It's sad. And it's very much the same sort of feeling that we're getting here with Sky being forced to watch as this happens. And this guy telling her, don't blame yourself. And hopefully this ends up being a thing that will help kick off a rebellion. I think this is a reason why this writer was the perfect writer to work on this episode.
There was a lot of good things that was perfect for this episode, and Brent coming in and writing on it was probably one of the greatest decisions of this season so far. I mean, there's been a lot of great decisions, a lot of great writers and creative team so far, but this was heartbreaking, and it started me thinking, okay, I should not care about anybody in the future because the future's not going to exist at the end of the season or at some point when we end this arc. So I don't know if we're going to do another arc or not. I'm thinking this is for the long game and we're in this for another like 10, 13 episodes, whatever it is. And we're going to get to a point where we go back to real time at the end. So I don't know if we need to care about any of these characters long term, but it's heartbreaking when you see them die along the way.
I think we are going to have at least two arcs in this season. We're going to get through this future arc and then it's going to be going back and having an arc in present day to kind of get them to a place where they're not fugitives being hunted down by whatever is happening back there.
And that's right, because we got the colonel or general or whatever it was. I'm just trying to look at, I watched the episode again after we podcasted on it, and I was looking at her rank, and I could have sworn the first time that I watched it, it was colonel rank, but then I'm looking at it again, and it looked like it might have been brigadier general or major general rank, which is two stars. I don't know. I'll have to take a look at that again. Anyway, there's that whole thing that is still out there as well, no matter when they come back. So if they come back from the moment that they were taken, then they still have to deal with not knowing what is going on with the SHIELD organization or whatever Talbot was running. Or if they come back afterwards, they got to come back and clean up that mess because there's no agents of SHIELDs left.
Yep.
Okay. So we got Ben that died. We got Tess that died. And that I did
that
not see that
sad.
Coming.
Oh, Tess's death made me angry.
Yes. It's senseless. And that's the point is, these Kree catch her, and I don't know if she died by hanging or if they're just displaying her corpse, but she's just there being hanged and displayed as a warning. And I liked Tess.
Yep.
It's awful. This future's terrible, and they don't have tacos, and everything sucks.
This place is the worst.
Do you see any cows? I don't know if you listened to the last episode or not, Lauren, but there's this whole story that I made up about the ferrets that were let loose and Rewind and the fact that they found their way to the lighthouse and they're part of the food chain now.
Oh, no.
Right. Because you don't see any cows, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, but to be fair, we haven't seen anyone eating meat either. We've only seen them being fed the bachelor chow.
Yes.
Yeah, that and snails.
Yeah, but that's only for the rich people.
And those are presumably imported.
Yeah, I don't think those were earth snails.
No.
No. Although I was kind of surprised that Fitz let out Terran food as one of his statements. So I was thinking, does that give away the fact that he's from the past? Because there's no Terra anymore.
Yeah, but using the word Terran is not something somebody from Earth would say.
This is true.
I'm trying to remember now. I rewatched Titan A.E. over the holidays. Actually, New Year's Eve, right?
Such a good movie.
I did. And
I rewatched Spice World.
Oh, okay. So anyway, Titan A.E., for the first time ever, I was watching it going, you know, the animation could have been better on this. It really could have, even in 1999. But aside from that, the story is great. The actors are great. Bill Pullman, Matt Damon, and gosh, what's her name from E.T.?
Drew Barrymore.
Drew Barrymore, yeah. So great trio of actors with that and a bunch of other secondary actors. And I think they did say Terran or Terra quite a bit in there. So
they did. But then again, Earth was destroyed in that one.
Well, Earth is destroyed here, too. That's what I was trying to go back and forth between the two. It's like, okay. So there is precedence here.
Okay. It's so funny that you brought that up because I'm scrolling through Tumblr as I usually do. Sorry. But somebody had made a post about it had a bunch of characters from various Don Bluth movies, including Kale from Titan A.E. Don Bluth only knew how to draw one man, but damn it, he wasn't going to let that stop him.
Yeah, Cale Tucker.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Such a good movie.
It was. And I couldn't think of a better way at the time. I mean, I was thinking I could watch The Martian again for like the 50th time this year.
I need to rewatch that. Which I don't remember if I've made the recommendation, but Artemis by the same author, Andy Weir. So good. And the audiobook read by Rosario Dawson, our very own Claire Temple. Extremely good.
Sweet.
It's Rosario Dawson reading at you for 9 hours. What's not to love?
You know, Lauren, someday Rosario Dawson is going to say, you know, this new book, this great book, X, whatever it is, it's read by Lauren and it is awesome. And
and then Lauren will die. We will hear a scream coming from the direction of Texas and then be notified of Lauren's death.
There will be no more books read by me because I will be dead.
So, for the listener, in case this is the first time you've ever checked us out, Lauren is a voiceover actor and does book narration. So this is something that conceivably could happen and probably will. I just willed it to happen. So Rosario Dawson, if you are listening to this, please, the next audiobook that comes up by Lauren, you got to say that.
Or she could just comment on our YouTube video and kill Lauren and I both.
This is true. We would all be collectively dead.
She is night nurse, though, so she doesn't want you to die. But she is turning into a warrior, so. Okay, anyway, Grill died.
She could save us.
Yeah. She could save us. I wouldn't complain.
Right, she could save you. Okay, so Grill is another death that happened. So they're killing everybody inside the lighthouse.
But this one was deserved, and I was happy.
He's had it coming for a while.
He had it coming all along.
I don't disagree.
He ran into that rock. He ran into that rock 10 times.
So this kid, this poor little kid.
Flint,
who just got his brand new spanking inhuman powers, the power of rock.
Is he going to put the earth back together?
Oh my God.
He could.
He could.
Oh my gosh.
Why have we not thought about that until just this second? Are you kidding?
I thought about it as soon as I saw it. At first, I was like, oh, that would be really useful for their mining operations. Then I was like, oh, that would be really useful for putting the earth back together.
I literally gave it no other thought other than the power of rock.
That'd be so cool.
I literally gave it no other thought.
That we could create in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. our own planet Bob.
We could.
Nobody said you had to live on Bob.
For those.
Oh, now you're the king of Bob.
For those that don't get that reference, it's straight out of Titan A.E., so you gotta go watch it.
Watch Titan A.E., motherfuckers. Watch Titan A.E.
All right, so Flint, it's just this nice kid that's just scratching by. He's salvaging stuff, and I don't know where he gets the stuff in his backpack. Did he steal that backpack? Was it his backpack all along? I don't know.
It's an inherited backpack. I don't know if they're making backpacks anymore. It's just like a 100-year-old Jansport.
He pulls out the scissors, this, you know, gigantic scissors. It's a little rusted, but it's still scissors.
It's like one half of a pair of scissors. It's a sizz.
Okay. So he pulls that out and he turns it into salvage and he's trying to just get by, right? He's trying to get something to eat.
Yeah, he's getting an orange so he doesn't get scurvy.
They all have scurvy.
Man, they gotta have so many horrific diseases.
Scurvy and rickets all around.
Scurvy, rickets, pellagra.
Just riddled with parasites.
Yes, riddled with parasites.
All right. I'm going to disagree with you ladies here. And this is the reason why. Is because
they
we talked about...
They have so many poop-related diseases because they're living in close quarters. This is an actual problem.
I don't disagree about that.
You have died of dysentery.
But, the whole point
of
this...
Yeah, but, that's the whole point.
Yes.
The whole point of this human little colony is for Cassius to actually breed everybody to breed in humans with more powers. So he wants a healthy population. He wants to kill them off.
Yeah, but he culls the population all the time. He doesn't really care.
All the people who die are weaker, finger quotes. Just eugenics is a horrible thing, okay? Eugenics does some truly horrific mind gymnastics.
And he's pulling out the ones that he really wants by the age of like 18, because that's when they go through teratogenesis. And if by that point...
But they have to be healthy at that point. So he wants these kids to stay healthy.
They don't have to be at that point.
They don't have to be healthy. They have to be alive. And then, you know, they can start being fed better and stuff if they're useful.
Okay, when's the last time you saw an unhealthy kid on this set?
We barely see kids at all.
Yeah. Never, because it's even the poor, ugly, they keep making a big deal of, oh, her skin's so beautiful. Literally everyone on this set looks fine. They look better. They have better skin than I do.
Yep. I mean, Grilled's weight alone is an issue for me. I mean, that dude is.
Well, that's because he's the corrupt boss. Like, he's getting the good stuff because of his position.
You don't get muscles like Zev has without some protein.
Again, you find people to roll over and you take their stuff.
All right. I still say that Caseus wants a healthy human population. Small, manageable, but healthy.
I don't think he cares.
Well, he does. He cares because he wants the Inhumans.
Yeah, but again, they don't have to be healthy to provide that.
Yeah.
And remember, nobody is like actually having babies. They're being grown in the labs and then distributed. So you don't even have to have a population healthy enough to breed.
All right. We'll agree to disagree here. Cause
eugenics, it's terrible.
Yeah, definitely. I will agree with that. Eugenics is terrible.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Anyway, so Flint is this nice kid who is 16, right? Because it's 2 years early for him, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's 16, and he should be running for student governor and treasurer, right?
Yes. We find out that
Mac
was very fiscally responsible.
That does not surprise me at all.
I love Mac so much, you guys.
Like, of course he was the treasurer.
I love him.
At least he can go back to having a job once he quits S.H.I.E.L.D. when they get back.
I feel like he was, like, Mac the character was probably one of those guys that was, like, scrawny and lanky in high school and didn't become, you know, Mac until, like, much later. So he was just, like, this awkward, tall, dorky kid who wanted to make sure the finances were well managed.
I could see that.
I kind of like that, and I kind of also like the idea that he's just always looked like that, but he had, like, no interest in sports. He just liked nerdy stuff. He likes video games, he likes financial responsibility, and he likes horror movies. So he's like, why would I want to do that stuff? I just like doing this and also lifting weights. I mean...
So he's real-life Vin Diesel.
Yes, he's real-life Vin Diesel.
I know a thing or two about sports and body development and that sort of thing. And I completely understand, like, in high school, you can be tall and lanky. And it does take 3 to 5 years after high school to put that much muscle on, to be that, to have that physique. So, yeah, I get that. I think anybody coming out of high school is a lot lankier than what they are later on.
Yeah, I remember being in band and there was this one guy that was in the trombone section, I think, that was standing next to me for one set. And this guy was like, I don't know, 6.5 feet tall, built like a toothpick. And I remember I would just look at him and I was like, how are your ankles not breaking right now while you just stand there? You are a skinny dude.
There was a kid in my sister's class that was 6'5", 128 pounds.
Was he as thin as a paper?
Yes. Yes, he was. He played basketball and the ball got stuck between the rim and the backboard. And so, you know, when that happens on a guy's game, they have like the tall guy go up and knock it loose. It took him 2 tries to get enough oomph to knock the ball loose.
Oh, no.
Jeez. So he's playing center, but he's getting knocked around pretty much.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. Anyway, Flint has to go through this teratogenesis because Caseus wants more product to sell. So he rounds up all the kids that are between 16, probably 14, actually, 14 and 18, and they're going through teratogenesis. And
no, there's only like 4 of them.
Right.
At least at this point.
Yeah, all the kids.
All the kids.
So 4 kids, and they go through this teratogenesis, and the mist, you know, I was thinking, if there are other kids around them, I didn't see any other kids, but there were younger kids around them, the teratogenesis crystals are out in the open. It's not like it's in a contained phone booth like it was in Inhumans.
I'm assuming that that vent that they're standing over keeps it contained, but I don't know.
So there's four kids, and he's the only one that turns. And here's where it gets sporty. I watched this like three or four times, and I didn't fully understand what happened until they explained it later. The inhuman cocoon that's around Flint, once he gets terrigenicized, he busts out of it, kind of explodes out of it. And first of all, I'm thinking spontaneous explosion. And then I'm thinking after he shows up next to Yo-Yo, I'm thinking he's got some sort of transport power. But then I discover that Yo-Yo actually has kidnapped him and taken him away. That was pretty cool, making it look like an explosion.
At first, I thought he was invisible. I was like, wow, he turned invisible.
I think the explosion around it was pretty cool, too.
Yes.
And then they start looking for him, but they don't know if he's really exploded or if he's hidden somewhere. But they're thinking he's hiding somewhere because I would think that there would be bits of clothing everywhere. I don't know.
Well, bits of Flint. Skin.
Yeah. All right. So now we've gotten one fight with May and Ben. And now we've gotten to the main event, the main Spartacus fighting arena event between Quake and Smurfette.
So first of all, Smurfette gets just royally screwed by this situation because Kasaya's brother shows up and Kasaya's had been like, oh, I'm going to make her fight one of my other Inhumans. Kasaya's brother, who, by the way, was played by the hot snatcher guy from the last two Harry Potter movies.
Okay.
The guy who kind of had this like semi Noel Fielding Russell Brand look going on. He shows up and he's like, no, let's have the Destroyer of Worlds fight her. And Sonara's like, wait, this wasn't in the plan. And Kasaya's terrible boyfriend or whatever that he is like, this is fine. This is fine. You'll die probably, but this is fine. He's terrible. He's the worst.
Yeah, he walks over to her. This is good. This is not bad. I think we got, and honestly, he holds all the cards because if it comes down to it, he can switch Quake's implant on and immediately give Smurfette, whose real name is Sonara, we call her Smurfette because our audience have nicknamed her Smurfette, and give Smurfette the advantage. So I think everything's okay. He'd have to spin it, but he can save his girlfriend that way, or his stray, as it's been called.
Yeah, I guess there's a story there. I don't know if we're ever going to get it, but there's a story there. And it does not go well for Sonara.
No, she ends up losing. And it doesn't go well for Quake at that point because she has levitated herself using her Quake powers. And then her powers get switched off. So she falls down to the ground.
Yes, but then, first of all, I loved when she's hovering in the air. I'm like, she can fly.
Yeah, did you forget that? Did you forget she could fly?
I love it. I just love it so much.
Yeah, it was cool.
And then, of course, we have Fitz and Simmons planted there in the box. So they do their thing. The box does that thing like in Hunger Games where they have the force field so that you can't shoot into there. But they still manage to get down there and get Quake, and it's amazing. And that's when Simmons proposes to Fitz, and I love it.
And Fitz is a badass shooting that icer off. I can only imagine it's an icer, right? It's not an actual real gun. It's an icer. So he's, you know, putting everybody to sleep, including the Kree. Good thing that icers work on Kree. And he's able to escape that way. Now, we know that they have stashed shield gear also in the lighthouse. And to my knowledge, they haven't retrieved it yet. So we still got to get to that point, and we still have to get the Mac and the Kree axe fight.
Oh, man.
Shotgun axe fight, you mean?
Well, shotgun axe for Max. I don't think the Kree is a shotgun axe. It's a straight up axe, right?
The Kree aren't cool enough for shotgun axes. Let's be clear.
That's because they brought an axe to a shotgun axe fight.
Yes.
There you go. So that's going to be fun when it happens. And it was amazing. The action was amazing in here. The story was amazing. You got all the feels with the dead characters as well as discovering Flint. Deke is nowhere to be found whatsoever. I think that's a little bit odd that I think he would have been in the middle of things. He would at least have been in the Terrigenesis area, the common area as Terrigenesis was happening, I would think. But we don't see him. Oh, never mind. He's locked in his room. Did we ever decide if he had like a can, a pot, or a toilet or something?
A bucket?
No, he just has to use the corner.
Oddly enough, since we've had this discussion, I've started watching a heck of a lot of sailing videos on YouTube.
Yeah, do you know you just go over the side?
Well, not when you're in port.
Well, okay, when you're in port, no. But when you're out at sea in like those old-timey vessels and stuff, you just go over the side.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't mean like go over, like fall over. I mean you poop over the side.
That would make sense because these heads, as they're called on a ship, that's what they're called. Yeah. A head, I've heard of these composting heads. I've also heard of holding tanks heads, just like in an RV, by the way. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the United States, you can't dump it. But if you're in the Caribbean in certain areas, you can dump it just fine. So, yeah, I've learned way too much about sailing boat bathrooms. And I just imagine that Deke has one of those.
If you've never read the Patrick O'Brien books, I think you might like them. It's about the age of sail type stuff.
So we've got Caseus and his brother going at it. Did anybody get a Ward vibe there with his brother there at any point in time?
A little bit. They really do not like each other.
No.
Nope.
Not at all.
And again, a very, very Spartacus-like interactions there with the politics and the... Oh, father always liked me best.
Okay, who's the guy who's running this, the Kree that's in charge of this little station? I can't remember his name.
Caseus.
Caseus, okay. Caseus is very much the body artist. Like, yeah, he's king of this little crap hole, but...
But it's still a crap hole.
He is crapped on by everybody else in Kree society.
Yes, it's amazing. I love it.
So question for you. He is light blue. Is that makeup? Is the light blue makeup on him? Because his brother's dark blue. Yeah.
Does he have like Kree vitiligo or something?
Because his lieutenant lady, Smurfette, has it too. Like, it seems like almost like they're putting like a white makeup on over their blue skin.
With her, I think it's deliberate. It's like a deliberate makeup.
That's what makes me think it's deliberate with him too.
But then I honestly don't know. I don't know if it's Kree vitiligo, if it's makeup, if it's some sort of marker that maybe he's not fully Kree. I don't know.
Oh, could be. Could be that's why he was sent away, because his father was disappointed in his, to use a Game of Thrones term, bastard child. So it could be. Now, the way I'm thinking it's makeup, though, or the way I noticed it was just because this is supposed to be his brother, and his brother is just a vibrant dark blue. Now, he could have been wearing makeup, too. I have no idea, but...
Most of the Kree that we've seen that I can remember in the movies and things are the darker blue. Which made me think from the first time we saw these guys that they were wearing makeup. And it's because all the soldiers and stuff that they have that aren't of our higher rank are just the dark blue. And I kind of thought that maybe it was, you know, a class distinction. Like, you know, if you're high enough up, you wear this white makeup.
It could be. He's been banned. We learned that he was banned. We haven't talked about that. That he was exiled, I think, was the term that was used. But he said, no. My dad just wanted me to come here and take care of this little outpost. Okay, you were exiled, buddy. And then we learned, this came up in the discussion at the table when Fitz was doing the snail thing and stealing of knives by Simmons. We now know where the roaches actually came from. They're called, for short, Vrells. Lauren, you actually looked up the complete full name.
Yes. So what these things are, they are Vrelnexians, and they are actually from the comic. They tried to take over Asgard, and in the comics, they look dumb as hell. Like, seriously, go to the Marvel Wiki and look them up. They are ridiculous.
Okay. So far, though, they look scary and they help control population. You know what? That was a little freaky. So all these people around the table, and Fitz says, oh, they kill each other, or he has them kill each other. And then everybody looked horrified. These are people that want to use inhumans for bad things. Why are they horrified about humans killing each other? What's going on there?
Yeah, that was a little weird. I don't know if they're maybe thinking, oh, this is a waste of resources, or if they're weirded out, they're making the humans kill each other instead of having the guts to do it themselves. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of funny. And then the whole thing about Fitz later trying to get Ben to be disciplined by another person that's there, and that Casey says, no, I can't look weak, and he does it himself. It didn't fit together perfectly for me, so there's a couple of discontinuities within the storyline.
I'm not sure if it's discontinuities or if it's just information that we don't have yet.
It could be.
Like, the more that we find out about Cassius, the more that it's really clear that he's a screw up.
I think we've determined that from day one.
Again, very much like Body Addis.
Yes.
So what do you guys think that Fitz sent Enoch to the surface to do?
Find May, I guess.
That's what I was thinking, but did he have a bigger plan, do you think? Because he asked him to go do it.
Well, we also know that there are other people on the surface.
We know that. Does he know that?
Fitz might.
He might have hid some stuff there before he slept. There might be like caches or something.
Maybe. That's a good point.
Also, I absolutely loved Enoch Blueface paint. Yes, I am a Kree. I am totally a Kree.
I have always been a Kree.
Yeah, that was fun. After the whole horror of the initial episode, he's turned out to be a fun character.
He really is.
Sentient Kromendkon. Those are the big things that I had in my mind for the episode. Haley, did you have anything that we haven't covered yet?
I don't think so. I think we've talked about just about everything.
Lauren, are you good?
I am good. Yo-Yo is once again awesome this episode. That's all I have to say. Oh.
Actually, there is one thing. We know that Ben was meant to be Daisy's love interest because they killed him.
But they haven't killed Deke yet.
Yet.
Fair enough. Great stuff. We're going to come right back at this next week with episode 7. There might be a slight change in the live show. I have yet to talk to these ladies about it, but I might not be able to make it next week. We will see what happens. Things are in flux for me for next Sunday, so we will still have a show out for you next week, no matter what. In the meantime, if you're looking for other geeky content, we have a thing for you, don't we, Haley?
We do. As we mentioned at the top of the show, we are part of the Gunna Geek Network. And one of the other shows you can listen to on the Gunna Geek Network is the Operation Pug podcast. Their latest episode, episode 51, The Forecast. In this episode, they bid hello to 2018 and goodbye to Kinect while collecting all the Ks. Also, Assassin's Creed Origins review, why you should or shouldn't panic, CPU vulnerabilities, and some more spoilery talk about The Last Jedi. All of that on episode 51 of the Pugcast.
All right, lots of great stuff, and keep your eyes and ears open. We might have a couple of new shows on the network in the coming months as well, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we're going to move on to some news.
All right, our first bit of news is about Black Panther. Kendrick Lamar is producing Black Panther, the album and lead single is fantastic.
I gave this a listen. The first single is called All the Stars, featuring Kendrick Lamar and SZA. And it's really good. I can't wait to hear more from this album.
I have heard, I don't know if this is true, I've heard that their plan with this album is to make it kind of like a rock opera, so that if you listen to the album, it'll be like experiencing the movie again.
Yes, that's what I've heard too. It's less movie, like songs that are in the movie, and more just a bunch of musicians, like you said, doing kind of a, not really a concept album, but a lot of stuff that's inspired by and getting the feel of the movie, which I really, really dig.
That sounds kind of awesome.
Yes. So yeah, give it a listen. IO9 has a link to the single, and check out the album when it comes out. Guys, we are so close to the release of Black Panther. I'm so excited.
I'm way more excited about Black Panther than I am about the next Avengers movie. I'm not going to lie.
I kind of am too.
No way. I am totally into Avengers Infinity War, although both are cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to both. But just the scene where Thor meets the Guardians of the Galaxy, that singularly has my complete attention. And I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, but I've already seen that now. So
yeah, I think it's just more that Black Panther, from what I've seen, just seems like it has a more singular focus. And Avengers, it looks like it's going to be a really fun spectacle. And I'm going to be there and I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it. But this just has me super, super, super excited.
It seems to be well produced and I can't wait to see it again. But We'll see which one at the end of the year turns out to be the better one. I'm going to see both of them. We're going to talk about both of them. Haley, right? They're going to be on the schedule, right?
Why would we talk about those?
Well, I don't know. If we don't, it's your fault because you would not put them on the schedule.
Yep. Plus, and let's face it, this is a majority black superhero movie, which is incredible. And it's a non-Eurocentric superhero movie, which is amazing. And I really, really, really want to see it.
True.
Yep. Another movie that I really, really, really want to see is Captain Marvel. And DaWanda Wise has joined the cast.
Yes, she's the lead character in the Netflix series. She's got to have it. And this is going to be her first movie role. She's also been on Underground and she's been in Shots Fired. And I'm really, really, really hoping that she's going to play Monica Rambeau. Like, it doesn't say who she's playing. They've been very under wraps about what's going on, but I would love it if we get Monica Rambeau in a Captain Marvel movie. And the fact that they have cast a black actress in it has me excited. Monica Rambeau had the Captain Marvel moniker for a while. And that would be amazing if we get a Captain Marvel movie that has all three Captain Marvels in it.
That would be awesome.
So what else do we have news-wise?
Next up, we've got a little bit of news coming from the recent news of the Disney-Fox acquisition. And that is a talk from one of the X-Men producers about an Avengers-X-Men crossover.
Okay, so the producer in question is Lauren Shuler Donner, who has produced all the X-Men movies, is executive producer on The Gifted and Legion. And, okay, so they said that she's welcoming and it said she's excited, but what she's quoted as saying is, sure, why not? When people asked about the crossover. Look, it's 18 months away, so who knows, Shuler Donner said. For me, I think Bob Iger is one of the smartest men in the country. Alan Horn's an old friend. Kevin Feige was my intern and assistant, then my associate producer on the first X-Men. Kevin and I started the X-Men together. So for me, if we work with Kevin, I'm happy. Which is not exactly a ringing endorsement, but at least it's a, hey, I'm willing to do this.
I cannot imagine the MCU not incorporating mutants eventually. I mean, full-blown mutants. It's got to happen. I mean, the financial benefits alone is going to make this happen. It's just a question of when. Are we talking about the existing mutant universe that Fox has created, or are we going to create a whole new one? And are there any characters, existing cast, that is going to be brought over or not? I don't know. So
yeah, it's a question of when, and it's a question of how. Is it going to be a kind of sister dimension thing? Is it going to be all of a sudden mutants are showing up here? I don't know.
My thought was, you know, in the last X-Men movie,
Logan.
Days of Future Past.
Oh, okay.
Well, Days of Future Past is the last X-Men movie. Logan is its own thing. But they reset the timeline. They change the timeline. And then there's movies that are taking place before where we are in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So they could just say that this new crop of X-Men that are coming through, the ones that we're going to see in the, you know, we saw an X-Men Apocalypse, or we're going to see an X-Men Apocalypse, that is part of the MCU timeline. So when they catch up to where we are right now in the MCU, then, you know, that's part of all the same timeline. So that's one way they could deal with that.
We'll see what they actually do. We've seen what happened with Spider-Man. Basically, there was a Spider-Man reboot, and they reincorporated that. Or they incorporated that reboot into the MCU, still owned by Sony, though. This, they can do a little bit differently because they own most of the IP. I don't think they own all of it now. It's just most, right, with the mutants?
They don't technically own the Fantastic Four.
Okay.
There's some small little production company that owns that and was leasing those rights to Fox. But the thought is that they'll just start leasing those rights to Disney now.
But they own all of the mutants.
Yes.
Okay.
All the X-Men stuff they own.
Well, good for them.
All right. Continuing on news about X-Men and mutants, The Gifted has been renewed for season 2.
Yay!
Yes. So good. Love it so much.
So, Lauren, have you started your watch? Because you said that you were a few episodes behind, but have you started the watch of the season?
I am a lot of episodes behind now.
Okay.
I've been very busy.
There was the introduction of a couple certain characters that I was like, oh, Lauren's going to be so excited when she sees this.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And what happened between the mid-season finale?
I know what happened with those certain characters, and I did in fact get super excited when I heard about that.
I would have been confused as heck had I not started reading the comics a couple of years ago. But I'm so glad that I started reading the comics and we've been doing Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box, because I was able to at least zero in on that and go, oh, okay, that's what's going on. So at least I got that. But yeah, season two, that's cool.
I think that the season's almost over, right?
Yeah.
The season finale is the next episode, or 2-hour season finale.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that short. Okay, well, good, because that clears up my viewing schedule for other things.
Yep. All right, a little bit more X-Men news. Less exciting. Bryan Singer is no longer an executive producer on Legion or The Gifted.
Well, he's no longer an executive producer on Legion. And next, they're going to be working on... It says The Gifted may be next, which I hope so.
To bring on Bryan Singer?
No, to take him off of it.
To boot him. So that would make sense. Like, they would let this season finish up, and then next season, he's not...
Bryan Singer has been accused of rape and sexual assault. And now, for those of you who follow along with Hollywood gossip, this is no surprise.
It's one of those been known open for, secrets.
It's one of those big open secrets. He's been known for having twink parties with questionably underage people for years and years and years. It's all very skeevy. But then the actual, you know, rape and sexual assault allegations came in, and he just went from being a creepy guy to a full-on get this guy away from everything. So Noah Hawley, who is the showrunner for Legion, said that Singer asked his executive producer credit be removed following multiple accusations of misconduct, including a lawsuit claiming that Singer sexually assaulted a 17-year-old boy in 2003.
He requested it. This is coming from Singer? Wow. It's weird.
And this follows an earlier report that Fox is considering whether to remove Singer's executive producer credit from The Gifted. However, that situation might be more complicated, since Singer actually directed the series pilot, and that contractually guarantees him an executive producer credit. But there's some other things, I guess, they can do to get around that. So we'll see.
I hope so.
Again, I don't know how the intricacies of these things work. But again, if somebody's being a scumbag, that behavior should not be rewarded.
So do you think this is the end of Bryan Singer and comic book stuff?
I kind of hope so. Yeah, I don't think he comes back from this.
Yeah, you don't want to provide somebody with a proven track record of, first of all, skeevy behavior proven. Second of all, allegations of rape and sexual assault. You don't want to provide people like that with an avenue for potential victims. And comic book movies and shows being what they are, there's always going to be underage and circa, like, right around that age, people hanging around.
Yeah, once you know about this behavior as well, like, that's a huge liability for the studio to open itself up to. Like, you knew what this guy had a history of doing, and you put these young people under his authority.
Yeah, you don't want to provide people with a history of victimizing people with more victims. Just from a moral standpoint, that is not the right thing to do. And yes, from a financial standpoint...
Well, I don't expect any large companies to behave morally at this point, but to at least cover their own asses when it comes to legal liability. Like, that is the standard I expect them to rise to.
Yeah, I expect them to be worried about the bottom line, which is money.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this is a thing that, especially in the current climate, could lose them money. And it should if they continue to condone this type of behavior.
Totally agree. And yeah, I think it's a little bit different. I just want to point out a difference. It's not, I don't think this is redeemable. So it's not like alcohol abuse or drug abuse, where largely the only person you're really hurting is yourself. Yes, you hurt a few people around you, but you're not, your actions aren't directed to them. Sometimes I guess they are, but this is totally different. And I don't think there's any way to redeem this. Like, for instance, Robert Downey Jr. was able to come back from his addiction and partying and stuff like that, but I don't think we'll see Bryan Singer back.
Yeah, but that's a situation where he was the greatest victim of his behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I put one last story here. I don't know if you ladies saw this or not, but if you have... Yeah, go ahead, Lauren.
Another thing real quick, speaking of social media stuff. So apparently... a bunch of actors, including some of the Avengers cast, are in a fantasy football league. And this resulted in Chris Evans and Don Cheadle trash-talking each other on Twitter all weekend long. And it's been pretty fantastic. So just go back onto their Twitter timelines and find it. It's great. It's so great.
So there's this little thing coming up just in a couple of weeks now called, I don't know, the Olympics, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot that that's coming up, actually.
Yeah, right.
I'm so excited. I love the Olympics.
Right. And it's the Winter Olympics. So you have a lot of people in winter garb as they do their outdoor stuff, their ski slope racing, their bobsledding, that sort of stuff. Well, Marvel put this picture out on their Instagram. I didn't check and see if it was on their Twitter, and I can't see if it's on Facebook or whatever, but they put out these pictures a couple of days ago, and they put this caption on there: Captain Marvel and Captain America hit the slopes. Good luck.
Michaela Schifrin
and Lindsay
and
Vaughn. Yeah. And Michaela, I think it's Michaela that's in the Captain Marvel suit. And
that is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. She could play Captain Marvel right now if she wanted.
She actually could. This is, oh my God, this is amazing. I love these suits.
So if you haven't checked out the Marvel Instagram account, once again, I didn't double check and see if it was on any of their other accounts. There are two pictures that are just amazing with the Marvel characters basically as ski slope racers. So go check that out at the Marvel Instagram. And if I can figure out a way to repost that, I will, but I haven't figured that out. Instagram is still way foreign to me.
We could get our own Instagram account.
That would be Lauren. So there you go. Good luck, Lauren. Or Haley, if you want to pick that up, more power to you.
I have an Instagram account. I think I logged into it one time when I first created it and haven't since then.
There you go, Miss Haley, Agent Haley.
Social media maven.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so with that, we're going to move on into some feedback.
All right, we actually had quite a lot of feedback this week, but to keep us from being here for another hour, I just picked out a few. First, from Twitter, from @BornToEatBacon. Okay, Clark Gregg directs them all from now on. Just like that. From now on, that is how Clark Gregg does it.
I don't disagree, although the dude actually needs some time to prepare his acting, too. So,
yeah, that is the only downside.
Yeah.
But that was an amazing directing job. He did a fantastic job, as discussed. So I am in favor of him directing more episodes. And @AndyMigna, in response to a tweet from Chloe Bennett, the closest I'll ever be to a Jedi, with her walking in with the hood up and everything, she said, the closest I'll ever be to a Jedi. AndyMigna said, close. I thought at that moment that, and the dress, more of you as a Sith acolyte from the Old Republic video game.
Lauren, what did you think about that?
It did look very Star Wars. Just, again, anytime I see, you know, the hood and the dramatic walking in, my mind just always goes Star Wars. But then again, my mind is about 80% Star Wars at any given time, just on average.
And once again, if you actually have a Star Wars podcast and have an available seat, Lauren would be really appreciative to get on there and talk some Last Jedi.
This is true. I will talk Star Wars anytime, any place, and I promise not to yell constantly.
But she's lying. She'll make that promise, but she's lying.
And it really doesn't.
I said constantly.
And it really doesn't matter if you yell now or not, because you have a compressor now.
This is true. Ah. From YouTube, we also have some feedback. Majestic Entertainment News said, another interesting podcast. Happy New Year's. Happy New Year's, right back at you.
And to everyone else, by the way, Happy New Year.
Happy 2018. It's good to start off with more Marvel. And Infinite Five said, Zephyr One, not bus, in response to us calling it the bus, which we know it is Zephyr One, but it will always be the bus in our hearts.
And I just got to say that on that episode that we got this feedback from, I did say, yes, we know it is not called the bus, but we call it the bus. We know we call it Zephyr One. So just pointing that out, we know.
It's our podcast. We'll call things what we want to.
It's our podcast and we'll cry if we want to.
Except we're not crying. We're actually very happy.
Sometimes you cry.
It's not crying. It's fangirling.
I see. I don't fangirl, just personally.
Liar.
Okay, and with that, Lauren, what are we going to do?
We are going to yo-yo zoom this one out.
Woohoo! We are back. It's 2018 and we got a great show. We love podcasting about it. And we got a bunch of other great shows that we could podcast about in case this one ends this year. Just want to thank you. You are watching this on YouTube or you're listening to this on your phone. Thank you very much for checking us out. We really appreciate that. And if there's something that you want us to cover that you absolutely need us to cover, just let us know and we'll try to fit it in, but I'll have to convince Haley. So you might want to bribe Haley. She takes rum.
Thank you to everybody who has gotten a hold of us, whether it's during the live tweets, whether it's during the week when you see something that makes you think of us. If you are a new listener who found us thanks to Clark Gregg retweeting us, wow, you guys, then hi, hope you like the show.
Welcome on board.
Welcome on board. Welcome to the bus. We call it what we want to. And we love you guys. We love hearing from you guys. We love you.
Yes. Thank you to everyone that's listening. Thank you to Clark Gregg for retweeting us. We really appreciate that if you're listening right now. If you're listening right now, you could also tweet out that you're listening right now. That would be really awesome. Thank you to everyone that sends us everything throughout the week, whether it's just cool stuff that you found interesting or news or something that made you go, ah, well, we love all of that. And we love hearing from you.
We do indeed. And we can't wait for next week as we do this once again, hopefully with Michelle there. And Clark, if you want to come on board, you're welcome to any week.
Yes!
Until next time, I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
See you guys next week. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
All right, a little bit more X-Men news, less exciting. Bryan Singer is no longer Bryan Singer is no longer an executive. Oh, wow, what is my problem?
And then you can lead the news. Gifted renewed for season 2. No doubt.
Of course it was, because it's amazeballs.
I need to catch up with it.
I'm not as in love with it as you are, but it's not bad either. Put it that way.
Runaways is really good, too. I said I might have to move this arm just because of how much bigger this is than the old one. Like, I feel like it's not quite positioned where I would like.
Get me another
more off to my side than in front of me.
So what I did, it was twofold. First of all, I have a large reach to get to me, which I think is a little different than you, Haley, but I did get the 12-inch Heil riser. And what you end up doing is you screw that to the desktop. There's no way around it. So if you can't screw anything down, that won't work.
No, I could screw it, but I think I could just...
I know I'm forgetting something. So I got the soundboard. I've got the Spreaker ready to go. Oh, yeah. Episode highlights. What do you guys want to talk about?
Oh, was there an episode?
Broadcast has been successfully terminated by Marauder Fitz.
Sad day.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2017.